both politically and as a society. A day of liberty, a day of freedom. A day to bless God for all the good He has bestowed upon you. So let us look at those freedoms. What freedoms do we see today, brothers and sisters? Can you name them? Can you list them? And not just general idea, oh yeah, we got political freedoms, right kids? We all know that. What does that mean? What does that look like? Can you name the particulars? Like we are supposed to repent of sins, in particular sins particularly, as our confession reminds us, so are we to, on the flip side, bless God for particular blessings particularly. Let us look at those things. We see amazing and historically unprecedented blessings upon this nation. Read some history. I know some of it's boring. If you find a good book, it's not as boring as you might think. Lots of amazing and interesting things in history. But one thing you learn to see is how much bondage and lack of prosperity and curses, as it were upon the bulk of this world for centuries, for millennia, if not two, three and four, however old, way back to the beginning. Many people didn't have what we have today. What's the first of such freedoms that are unprecedented historically? Political freedom. That's what we usually think of the 4th of July, isn't it? Political freedom. That we get to choose our leaders, run our nation, someone else across the sea who doesn't know us and our people and how we think. They don't run the show. People who come from amongst us, they run the show. We get to choose our leaders, and we have political autonomy from others who are not interested in American prosperity, as was the case back in 1776. Electing our leaders, recalling our leaders. Kind of interesting with the gun laws. There's two people already on a recall list in parts of the counties of Colorado, and the third one's going on the list soon. Whether it's used right or wrong or abused, it's a good thing to have, I believe. Petitioning the government is another freedom that we have politically. Different ways to exercise our political muscle as a people in America. These are blessings from God. A constitutional republic, even if weathered and beaten, brothers and sisters, this is a blessing from God and historically unprecedented in many ways, although not completely without precedent. There are other constitutional republics of various sorts in Europe. Do you bless God for not having a dictatorship? For not being born in Cuba? You don't have Chavez as your president. But he's not president anymore. You bless God that you don't live in a pure democracy that's run by mob rule, but run by law. That's why we say a constitutional democracy or a constitutional republic. Do you see that? You could have been born in the Soviet Union, in which the majority of the 20th century was under dictatorial rule of communists. Or the Eastern Bloc. Ask Lou about some of the stories of how bad it was in the Eastern Bloc, where a man wanted his freedom so badly, he had turned so wicked because of atheism there, he abandoned his family to get away from it all. And the way they survived was by lying and cheating on the job. You have been blessed, you children and you adults. Not just political freedom, economical freedom. They overlap. There's an organic relationship between them. They are brothers that go hand in hand. Economical freedom that unleashes creativity and efficiency, where people are free to fail, but others are free to succeed, and not at the whim of politicians, at least not ideally. To partner with whom you will and create a business. Do you have an idea? You think you can make money with it? Go for it. And especially today with the technology that we have, there's all these different ways you can promote it, even more cheaply than it used to in the past. You can start a business. I know you have to fill out paperwork. And there's some reasons for that. But you can start a business. The government doesn't come up to you and say, no, can't do it. Unless, of course, you're making a business of killing people. Unless it's the wrong kind of killing, right? But you have a lot of freedom economically to start your business, to sell things, even if you're not officially a business. You can go on eBay. You can go on Craigslist. They can't stop you from selling something on Craigslist. I've sold things on Craigslist. Isn't that wonderful? The government doesn't come in and say, oh no, you can't sell that stuff. You're cutting out the middleman. We got to distribute the wealth to other people. No, you go straight to the source and sell it. You don't need union. You like those shoes? Buy them. You like that car? Get it. Don't take it for granted. We're so wealthy, even the poor amongst us, brothers and sisters. You're not living in a pit. You're not eating dirty rainwater. Because of the economical blessings that you have. You have such economical freedom and prosperity that comes with it. That if you like, you can shop and spend several hours a day shopping for several days just looking at clothes before you buy clothes. You have so many options. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a wonderful blessing from God? And that's just the clothes. I mean, look at the food. We forget in poor countries, they eat 1, 2, 3 staples. That's it. That's all the corn. We eat corn, all variations of corn. You tired of corn yet? Sorry, son, that's all we have here. We're poor. We're so rich that people who have diet restrictions have enough food to live and prosper. Such a variety of food. It's amazing. That's the economical freedom that we have. And we have such economical freedom that even Mayor Bloomberg didn't get his law to pass in New York. He lost. He wanted to restrict the supersized Cokes to be a big brother and help you. And he lost in court. Because Americans in general won't put up with many restrictions upon their freedom, even if it's their freedom to overindulge. Because that's the kind of people in history we have. And so our laws and political laws and economical laws generally reflect that. We have social freedoms. You have social freedoms, not just political and economical, but social freedoms, both legally, they don't touch you, you can do all kinds of decisions, and morally, the lack of judgment upon decisions in the social sphere. To be, in this case, as healthy or unhealthy, contrary to Bloomberg's attempt otherwise, as you desire without much social discrimination. What do you call that? Social freedom. You don't have to have planned marriages. That's not the law of the land. It used to be in a lot of places in the Middle East. Couldn't appeal it. You're stuck with whatever your parents chose. That's how the legal system fit. Because the legal system reflected the social system, the social expectations, the social mores. You have freedom to associate with whom you will, even if it's the KKK. That's how much freedom we have, socially. Do you like books? Do you enjoy talking about movies? Do you like to hug and cuddle little animals? There's a club for you. And there's probably an app for that. That's social freedom. Go on Facebook and say whatever stupid thing comes to your mind. That's social freedom. And of course, with social freedom comes what? Consequences that you get to bear. People have lost jobs over that. Mouthing off on Facebook. But that's a freedom that we have. The Boy Scouts were not required to make the decision they did. They did it voluntarily. There was no law saying you must take into your private organization homosexuals. They tried to push them that way, but they didn't. They couldn't win. They had the choice to do otherwise, and they didn't. That's social freedom. That's what I'm talking about. Do you bless God for such wonderful blessings, this short list of mine in each category. Make it longer. Have your kids write out a list when they're old enough. Write a list ahead of time so you can compare it. Educational freedom, not just political, not just economical, and not just social, but educational freedom. Parents get to choose what method to use. In spite of the taxations, the public school system, we are so economically rich that many can still go to the private schools or homeschool, even though their money is going elsewhere. So that ties into the economical freedoms that we have, but you still have educational freedom. Socially free, you're so socially free and legally free and economically free that you're educationally free that nothing prevents other families and churches from helping you and other families with their educational choice. Tutoring, giving money, coming together and creating your own little school. I mean, that's what Credo Academy is. The government's not going to say, oh, no, you can't make a little school only for homeschoolers. That's discriminatory. Well, of course it is. It's a little school for only for homeschoolers. That was the point. The government doesn't stop it. We have that kind of freedom, educationally even. Start a college. You've got the money for it. A lot of paperwork. I'm not doubting that, but you can do it if you persevere. And lastly, religious freedom. Religious freedom, brothers and sisters. Why are you here and not in some cave up in the Rocky Mountains worshiping God? You may say, because this is more comfortable, I got air conditioning. No, you know what I'm looking for. The government isn't restricting you. The government isn't coming after you and saying, you are the wrong kind of religion. You cannot preach here. You cannot persuade others of your opinion. You must be quiet. We have that kind of freedom. There are no heresy laws. There is no tax enforcement. The liberty to create a new church, meet where you will, and preach the whole counsel of God. It's incredible how much freedom this nation has. You may think, well, maybe England did during the Puritans. There's no golden age, right? No, brothers and sisters. There were laws in England that if you weren't part of the establishment, the established church, the church officially recognized by the British government, you couldn't preach. You didn't legally exist. And in fact, that was the case even in parts of early America before the state constitutions got rid of it and before the Declaration of Independence. Presbyterian churches couldn't even buy a plot of land in Virginia because Virginia had the established English church and they didn't recognize the, quote, dissenters, those who dissented from the mainline church, the established church. Couldn't even buy a grave plot for their church. That's the freedom we have. That's why history is important, because those who are ignorant of history are doomed to repeat history. These are incredible, brothers and sisters, young and old alike. These are the freedoms, and we ought to bless God for them. These are the reasons why we celebrate the 4th of July. It's astounding, the kind of liberty that you have in this nation. Bless Him, praise Him. This isn't just about a secular celebration, July 4th. It doesn't have to be July 4th. It doesn't have to be officially recognized by the government. Throughout the year, bless God. Take time aside during your prayer time with your family and say, you are a wonderful God for giving us these kind of freedoms that we don't deserve, that you don't deserve. But what else do we see in this nation? We see these wonderful freedoms, but we can also see other things when we take the light of God's Word in particular. What do I see in this nation here in 2013? We see a country of liberty, but I also see a country full of license. The wrong kind of liberty. I see a country full of political license to protect murderers of the unborn, to defend destroyers of marriage, and to excuse political lies as commonplace. I see a country of economic license to manipulate the truth through ads, to disguise greed as virtue, and to make money off of public vice. I see a nation of social license, to divorce without shame, to redefine marriage, and to propagate wickedness through every media possible. I see a country full of bondage. Their freedom has turned into license to sin. And that is bondage. Chains that we bind to ourselves are the most invincible, brothers and sisters. Because we do it most willingly. Americans have no freedom from bondage because they are in bondage to freedom. Do you see that? Americans have no freedom from bondage because they are in bondage to freedom. Freedom has become their God. I believe that is the greatest God of America. The greatest idol. Freedom to sin is the rising voice of this generation and has been of generations past. So freedom has become a god to them, a god of bondage. If the Supreme Court ruling on homosexual marriage proves anything, it proves that Americans have gained political, economical, and social freedom. No, rather license, but lost their souls. What does it profit a man who gains the whole world and loses his soul? That's what I see in America. And that's what we all should see using the lenses of the Word of God to this day and to this age. So, brothers and sisters, if political, economical, and social and like freedoms easily turn into bondage and license to sin, is there any freedom anywhere? What are we left with? Utter destruction and chaos? For a wicked people always gravitate towards tyranny. What are we left with? All the wonderful things I listed ended up just being bondage. Even Christians struggle with it. All the prosperity we have. We turn it into bondage upon ourselves as we become very, more and more materialistic and comfortable and wanting this and wanting that. And the hard work of sanctification and obedience is saying no to the flesh. This environment is very hard upon Christians if they have but eyes to see. What are we left with? We are left with a better freedom. Brothers and sisters, even if there was no bondage as we see it externally, there's a greater freedom than political freedom, than economical freedom, than social freedom. There is Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. What's he talking about? For this audience, you probably already know ahead of time. Because it kind of looks like, the poor, so the financially poor, brokenhearted, people who kind of feel miserable, maybe social outcasts and misfits. Liberty to the captives and those who are in prison, so we have these people who are in jail and God's going to free them. So legal and political freedom and economical freedom. That's what we're talking about. You would think so, according to some liberal pastors, that this is what it's all about. This life in this world. But what says the Word of God? The Word of God gives us the proper interpretation of this and like passages in Luke chapter 4, verse 14 through 21. In Luke chapter 4, verse 14 through 21. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit of Galilee to Galilee, and the news of him went through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he is brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And his hand, and he handed the book, it was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Quoting Isaiah 61 and 2, brothers and sisters. And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." It is not about economical or political freedom that Christ came ultimately. His ministry bears that out. The martyrs of the Church of God bear that out. Do not be sucked into the conservative siren call of save America, save her economically, save her politically, save her socially. It would be nice. That would be good. Good laws are a good thing. That's what Christians ought to do. But if that's all they have nothing. It is Jesus Christ and Him alone. The fundamental problem is not our freedoms turned into bondage. Politics, economics, and social issues are but symptoms of a deeper problem. Spiritual hearts, sinful hearts, gluttonous hearts. It is what is inside a man that defiles him, not what is outside a man. The guilt and power of sin turns freedom into bondage. And if that's the case, then how does one really fix America? You don't go after the symptoms. What kind of a doctor is that? Go after the root cause. And the root cause is this nation's full of those who hate God and love their own ways. Only Christ can bring freedom to the American and to the American in bondage. A freedom for a nation. Since nations are collections of families and individuals, the character of the people define the character of the laws and the character of the politics, doesn't it? What are they willing to put up with? What are they willing to vote for? Even if it's in a dictatorship, what are they willing to put up with, even if they can't vote? They can put up with a lot. People do. Americans need to repent from sin and flee to Christ and faith in Him alone. Fixing the laws of the land, brothers and sisters, will not fix the problem. That's what it comes down to. That's the one thing we ought to learn. We're going to celebrate the 4th of July. I'm not going to leave it on such a dour note. But the first thing we have to realize is that's not where it's at. It's fundamentally spiritual freedom in Jesus Christ from sin, from your sinful heart, from a guilty verdict before God. Because he who has spiritual freedom without bodily freedom, without political freedom, without economical freedom and social freedom, if he's cast into a cage and a cell and a bottomless pit like Joseph, like Paul, and he has the freedom of Jesus Christ, that's all he needs. Do you believe that? They did. And that's why they died for Jesus Christ. If it gets worse, as I fear it is, we'll talk a little bit about that tonight, about apostasy. God judges His church. He disciplines the church. And when they get spiritually fat, and when they get spiritually lazy, what do you think God's going to do? Make them run a few laps. And a lot more than that. And we need to start now while we can do it, instead of the hard times when it gets worse. Once spiritually free, the Americans can then start truly enjoying the freedom and start obeying God. But if they try to enjoy freedom without God, it's going to fall right on their face and turn into bondage, as we are seeing one generation after another. the Massachusetts Constitution of 1780 as but one example shows this connection between true religion and national prosperity. It declared, quote, "The happiness of a people and the good order and preservation of civil governments essentially depend on piety, religion, and morality." And it's God's common grace that doesn't bring a complete one-to-one correspondence and therefore destruction upon all the nations of this world. It is important, again, to remind ourselves about Jesus Christ, about where true spiritual freedom begins and is rooted in spite of your circumstances, in spite of perhaps losing all the freedoms you have in this nation. Because if this isn't preached, if this perspective is not given to the people of God, they will have the wrong expectations. They will give forth the wrong message to this society. One of the weaknesses and dangers of many conservative organizations, whether Christian or not, is they focus on law, they focus on economics, and they miss the spiritual boat. That's what I have seen. And what I've heard talking to other men of more experience and gray hair than me. It is good to have political and economical and social freedoms, brothers and sisters, and we ought to fight for them within reason. I don't deny that. But let's not lose sight of the greater prize of Jesus Christ. There is no guarantee we will maintain these freedoms. But there is a guarantee you will never lose your soul. If you are His, He is yours. To have that freedom, to have that wonderful freedom, this is the perspective. And when you go out into the world and you deal with the conservatives, you deal with the liberals, don't lose sight of this Northern Star direction in our life. Freedom for the church, not just a nation, begins here. Certainly a nation must repent and believe in Jesus Christ. But the church, again, as I just said, the social and political organizations, good in themselves, that try to save America without the gospel, have missed the boat and are actually hurting the problem, making it worse, in my opinion. Support churches that are unashamedly preachers of repentance and faith, of the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a priority problem when people support churches because they're all about politics, they're all about changing the laws of the nation, they're all about being conservative. Again, good things, in one sense. But they don't care what kind of gospel is preached there, as long as it's some kind of general, hey, we're all kind of Christians, it's all in the same boat. Really? Tell that to our reformers who died and were martyred. They didn't believe that. But take this 4th of July. Take this celebration of God's goodness. That's what it is. It's an exciting time to live in this world because of the freedoms we have. Take it as an opportunity to motivate you with the time that you have. You're not working from sun up to sun down, most of you. And you're just so exhausted you come home and you get nothing done. Because we have machines that do a lot for us. We have better working hours because we have so much efficiency economically. That we can read at our leisure, watch something enjoyable, buy a book. Use it for God's kingdom, to love your neighbor, to love the church of God, to help them, to use those abilities, learn more. Take classes on the internet. I don't know, read books. You have so many books, it's astounding. But take the blessings and bless God, not just with your lips, but with your hands. And be excited the things that we can do, because we do live in a day and an age that our forefathers would envy for the potential it has to do good. Good for the church of God and His kingdom. And good for those who are dying and on their way to hell. Remember, nevertheless, the end of the day, the greatest freedom we have is only in Christ Jesus. And praise be to God for all the freedoms, and especially Christ Jesus, who has come to bring deliverance to the captive and preach the gospel of good news to the dying. Let's praise Him. Our God, We stand in awe of what you have done as we go through the list of the wonderful blessings upon this nation. But we stand in greater awe and prostrate ourselves before you for the spiritual freedom we have in Jesus Christ. We are not in heaven, and thus we can never see a fully golden age here and now, for even sin will mire that time until Christ has come and conquered all his enemies and we are brought into the eternal kingdom with him and his Son and the Holy Spirit, the great supper of the Lamb. We look forward to that day, and we look forward even now, the good that we can do in this nation, and the goodness you've given this nation. May we have an excitement, may we have a zeal, but may we always see the truth of the matter, Lord, that spiritual freedom is to be prized greater than any other freedom. We thank you, God, and we pray that all of us here would embrace that truth. In your name we pray, amen.